God. Let us pray together. Holy God, we are thankful for this time together to worship you. We know that you always meet us in love. We are thankful that you renew our hearts, you renew our minds in the faith of Jesus Christ. God, we thank you that you are God of abundance, Lord, whose love, Lord, touches all of us. Lord, would you be glorified, Lord, by this our worship. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Good morning. So good to be with you today and worship with you, our loving God, our risen Christ. We're in the midst of a series in which we are talking about finding community in a fragmented world. And our scripture is from 1 John chapter 3, the first seven verses. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like Him. For we shall see Him as He is. All who have this hope in Him purify themselves just as He is pure. Everyone who sins breaks the law. In fact, sin is lawlessness. But you know that He appeared so that He might take away our sins. And in Him is no sin. No one who lives in Him keeps on sinning. No one who continues in sin to sin has either seen Him or known Him. Dear children, do not let anyone lead you astray. The one who does what is right is righteous, just as He is righteous. Thanks be to God for this good news from His holy word. Amen. Amen. Would you take a moment to pray for me, to pray for yourself, for your heart and your mind, and to pray for not only the people in this room, but Christians all over this Sunday, trying to hear God's word proclaimed. Would you do that in silence? O living word of God, would you come to be among us through the power of your Holy Spirit? Would your gospel truth come alive for us in our lives, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. A lot of you already know that I'm the son of a pastor, but a lot of you might not know that both of my parents went through divorce before they got married. And my dad, in his first marriage, had a son, my brother John, who's 4 years older than me. And during the summers growing up, John would come and be with our family. He would be with us during the holidays. And, I mean, obviously, that was a little weird because I didn't have a big brother most of the time. And then for a couple of months a year, suddenly I was a middle child. And so I always like to tell that to people. I'm like, hey, I wasn't always the biggest kid around. I was a middle child every once in a while. And so when I was a kid, my brother and I wouldn't say we didn't get along, but, you know, there was the big brother, little brother stuff going on. But I definitely remember, even from a young age, noticing that things were different with my dad when my brother would be in town. I remember thinking, man, I wonder what it's like that dad doesn't get to see his son but just a few months a year. And I remember thinking that dad really wanted to be with John. And I remember as a kid, all I cared about is it didn't seem like my dad wanted to be with me as much. When John was in town. I also remember going over to John's house every once in a while where his mom was and how weird it was. It was awkward. I felt like a stranger because I would come and though my dad would be there and maybe my mom would be there, but then my brother would be there and then a different mom would be there and thinking as a kid, what is this? This is weird. And it felt a little weird. My brother is very healthy and wonderful. He's one of my best friends. He's probably the smartest and funniest person in our family, is what I often think of as my brother. But his youth was horrible. He had a very difficult youth, probably because of that divorce in some ways, probably because his stepdad was in the Air Force and they moved around internationally. He struggled. And so I tell you that just to tell you that even in a Christian home where we had a pastor as the father, that I was aware of fragmentation in my family. And many of you know that right now we have a foster daughter. We have a little girl who, if you were to come to our house, you would see her happy. You would see her playing with Levi and Asher. In which you would hear her calling me daddy and Megan mommy. You would just assume that she was a part of this family. And she is, as far as we're concerned. We've only been with her 6 months, and we love her, and we treat her like ours, and she treats us like hers. And yet Catherine, her skin is a different color than the other part of the family. She grew up with a different language in her home than we speak in our home. And once a week, she goes and sees her good brother and sister and her biological mom. And there's been a couple times when we can tell that her little mind and heart is trying to figure out what in the world is going on. All that she wants, she doesn't understand why her brother and sister and Asher and Levi and her mom and her dad and us, why can't we just all be together? And so right now in our life, we are aware of the reality of fragmentation in our family. Catherine is just one of thousands of kids. And even if you're one of the families, did you know in America only about 40% of families are made up of a husband and wife who were married in their first marriage? So that's the minority. And even if you're that, which we might say on paper is the traditional healthy American family, that you know fragmentation too. You know fragmentation because you're married, and marriages don't always stay together. They don't always feel together, even when they are together. You know that because if you're in a family and you've ever had parents or you've ever had kids, that at some point you're going to experience fragmentation in those relationships. You can say amen, it's okay. You've experienced fragmentation within your family in more ways than we can name here today. Can we just acknowledge the truth that we are fragmented? As families, we are fragmented as people, as society. We're not only fragmented within our families, we're fragmented between our families. I talk a lot about neighboring. Megan and I have been working hard the last almost 4 years to get to know all of our neighbors on our street. If you went though around, although we know most of their names, still most of the people on our street we don't really have a relationship with. I mean, we go inside of our houses even though I can literally throw a frisbee into their window. You're so close. And if we've been working for almost 4 years to do that, my guess is many of you who live in neighborhoods probably know fewer people than we do in your neighborhood, maybe. We are fragmented in our houses. Our houses are not designed in neighborhoods nowadays to even know our neighbors. And even between neighborhoods, when they build a new neighborhood in Leander, they build it for one tax bracket. Right? You know, it's only a certain amount of people can afford those particular homes, whether it's a rich neighborhood or a poor neighborhood. We are fragmented. I mean, just all over the place. It even hits the church, doesn't it? I mean, we got good people in this room that I know would understand that in heaven, there's going to be people from every background, every race, every language gathered together in worship of the one true God. Don't you believe that? And yet, we're not quite there right now at Leander United Methodist Church, are we? Right now, this room does not even represent the race or the age or the backgrounds of our own community right here. We don't mean to do it, but we are contributing to fragmentation. It's just all over. It's insidious. It's in us and around us. We're so fragmented. And so we're working on this series in Eastertide, and the title is Finding Community in a Fragmented World. The question is, do you think God wants it this way? Do you think God came in Jesus Christ and was crucified and was raised from the dead so that we could stay this fragmented? I don't think so. I think that it's God's desire, it's God's will, it's God's hope that we would be a people together. This has always been God's dream. God, even beginning with Adam and Eve, had the desire to create a family in which he would be the father. That's why in the Trinity language we use the word father, right? And so we in this room know the pain
We know the brokenness of family. And this is what I want you to hear, church. Listen. Listen very closely. Our God in Jesus Christ is making a new family for all people. Our God in Jesus Christ is making a new family for all those fragmented pieces. This is good news. Even when Jesus came into the world, Jesus himself, we always think of Jesus as a kind and loving person. And we know that Jesus loved his mother, Mary. There's all these beautiful images of their relationship. But even Jesus kind of turns our traditional understanding of family on its head. First, before I even read some scriptures from the New Testament, I want to remind you that the way we understand family in America today looked nothing like families that Jesus would have grown up around. So if you go to the ancient Near East, you go up in that time, family was not the nuclear American family. You got it? And so I want to tell you that family is relative. That might be, you know, blasphemous to some of you who believe that God established a two-parent and two-and-a-half-child home and put them in America, and that's what we're supposed to have, and that's what heaven looks like. I don't think that's true. I think that you look at different places, different cultures at different times, you see all different kinds of families. And that the traditional family, there's no such thing. Don't throw anything at me. But I almost say that to comfort those of you who feel like your traditional family isn't happening, right? Is that in God there is a new family that is created. Jesus actually says this in Matthew 12. Someone said to Jesus, "Behold, your mother and your brothers are standing outside seeking to speak to you." And Jesus answered the one who was telling him and said, "Who is my mother and who are my brothers?" And stretching out his hand toward his disciples, he said, "Behold, my brother, my mother, and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father who is in heaven, he is my brother and sister and mother." How do you think that made his mom feel? How do you think that made the brothers that were coming to see him feel? Do you think that Jesus might in that moment be saying that there's a new family that God's trying to create? Matthew 10, Jesus says, "Do not think that I came to bring peace on the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I came to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemies will be the members of his household. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me." Friends, my question about this passage, do you think Jesus here just wants to be cruel? Or do you think it's possible that Jesus is recognizing that our families are broken and that he wants to come and bring a new kind of family into our lives and into the world? John chapter 1 says, "Yet to all who did receive him," Jesus, "to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God." And Ephesians 4 says, "There is one body, one spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all." Have I made my case? Do you believe me that God is trying to create a new family? God is trying in Jesus Christ to create a new family. And the good news is that God wants you to be a part of that family. God wants to give you a home in him. Our passage for today is saying the same thing. See what great love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. Children of God. I would think most of you in this room have been baptized. I'm not sure if everyone's been baptized, but baptism is a big part of the life of the church. I want to remind you about a couple of little things you may not notice about baptism that I actually had to learn myself as a pastor doing baptisms. But one of them is, did you notice, I don't know if you've been a part of a baby baptism, seen a baby be baptized, but every time a baby is baptized, It's actually part of the ritual of baptism for the parents to hand the pastor the baby. And you would remember that because babies are often flipping out. You know, during a baptism, they're often screaming, they're often saying, well, what are you doing? There's almost this moment of rendering where it's like, why are you taking me from my warm mom? And the reason is, the reason you'll never see a mother holding the baby while the baby's being baptized is because of the importance of the symbolism that we belong, not first and foremost to our biological families, but we belong first and foremost to God. And the pastor has this crazy responsibility of representing in that moment the church and representing God. The other thing, I don't know if you've noticed this, but as pastors, we are not supposed to say the last name of anyone who's being baptized. So if John were being baptized, I would say his first and middle name, you were baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but not the last name. I don't know if you ever noticed that, but the reason behind that is that we are not primarily an Altman, or whatever your last name is, or however many last names you might have gone through in your life. You belong to God. Amen. And when we say you are baptized in the name, we're saying you're baptized in the family of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You belong to God. We are children of God. That is what we are. The reason that the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. It's hard in a world that is always trying to find family to believe that God has given us a family. And it's really hard to live into that family. I think one of the things we do as human beings is part of what it means to find family is to find a people with whom you are safe with and cared for. And what we naturally do when we think we find that family is we want to block out the rest of the world, the dangerous and scary world, from us so that our family can be safe and secure. But in the kingdom of God, something amazing happens through Jesus Christ. That family is no longer about who's in and who's out. The family of God becomes one where the doors are open and hospitality and love and grace is offered and forgiveness is given. And it begins with Jesus on the cross when he's there and he's saying to his family as he's crucified, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. And from the cross he says to John, John, my mother, you are now her son. Mom, this is John. He is now your son. You remember that? Jesus, even on the cross, is trying to show us that he's creating a new humanity, a new family. And so, friends, I want you to hear the invitation of God this morning. God is inviting you to be a part of the family of God. Now, there's a different experience of this for different people. Some of you in this room, you have experienced or are experiencing broken family. And I would really hope that it would be good news to you today to hear that God wants to create a new family and that you're invited to be a part of it. There are others in this room who are saying, I like my family the way that it is. And I've ordered my life around that family, and this is kind of tricky. I don't know if anybody's like that. I mean, that's kind of the station of life I'm in. And I would give you the good news that it's possible for you to bring your family into the family. It's possible for your family to become a part of the one true eternal family in God through Jesus Christ. Luckily, I don't have to go have a conversation with Megan later and say, Megan, I've decided I want to be a part of the family of God. I know we've been a family, but now I'm a part of the family of God, and that's it. For us, we get to say, can we be part of the family of God together? And we can say that we have another family, a greater family, through Jesus Christ. I want to say another word about the family of God and honesty. Have you noticed, church, that sometimes the church and church people and the family of God doesn't seem like a much more functional family than the rest of our families. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Have you ever thought to yourself, man, I wish the family of God was a better family? Or have you ever experienced church and just go, this kind of is as dysfunctional as my family? I mean, friends, one of the things I would say I can speak for John too on this and any other leaders in the church, one of the biggest things that I encounter are people disappointed that the family of God is broken. And that all the hopes and dreams we all have for family are often not met. And at worst, sometimes the wounds just continue, and even within the family of God. What I would offer about that is this thought. I think a lot of us just hope something magic's going to happen. We come to the church and we bring all of our family of origin stuff, and we hope that we can all just bring our junk and that it's just going to magically become a beautiful family. And can I suggest that it actually takes work? Can I suggest that we have to come, as it says in this passage, and that we have to make Jesus Christ the center of our family? So if your family is centered on success and having a good job and doing good at school, you're probably going to have people who do good at school and end up having good careers. But if your family's centered on Christ, and everything in the life of our family is centered on His love and forgiveness and mercy and goodness and grace, then it might be that we will become people who reflect the image of Christ. And that, can I go so far as to say that where the church has failed to be a better family is where we have not made Christ center. And where the church has made Christ center, it is and will always be a better family. Yes. And that's about you as much as it's about me. Would you come and join me and seek Christ to be the center of this family? Whether your family of origin is with you or not, whether you are an orphan or a widow or a divorcee, whether you're alone or whether you come with a whole clan, you can come to this family. And would you join me? Would you join each other? And would we say to each other, let us seek the risen Christ in our midst and make Him Lord, so that we might too grow in His likeness as a community of faith and therefore be called by the world the body of Christ. Would you? I'm not just saying that rhetorically. Would you? Would you come? The way that looks is we have to make a decision as individuals, as families, and we have to say, how can I be a part of the church, the body of Christ? And I want to make a distinction. A lot of times we think of the church as this calendar of activities that this organization puts on. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm not asking you to fill your schedule with a bunch of the stuff that's on the church calendar. I am inviting you to be a part of the family of God, who is a people who are seeking Christ to be center. Does that make sense? Do you have a community? Do you have a part of your life in this church or some other in which people know you and love you and are able to seek Christ with you? Some of you don't. I know you don't. Some of you do. What is your next step? What is the thing for you? But let me just remind you the good news. God does not want to just enhance your family or fix what's broken in your family. God has in mind a new family in Christ through baptism. And that is what He offers you and me and all people in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Jameson Clem is here this morning, and his Sunday school class is meeting right now. But he's going to tell you a little bit about that class. And the point here, every week during this series, we have different people from communities within this community of Leander United Methodist Church talking about where they have experienced family and how they've experienced the risen Christ in this community. So what, this is what I want you to hear from Jameson, is that Christ is building his family at this church, and that you can be a part of that in many different ways. So would you listen for that as Jameson comes and tells us about the Foundation Sunday School class, which just maybe they can hear you talking through the wall.
Probably.
Thanks, Jameson.
Hi. So my wife Cindy and I are members of the Foundations class, which is the main thing that I think is the common thing we have is that we're all parents with young kids in our house. So we have that in common, but a lot of us are friends on, say, Facebook, and we know that there's a lot of differences among us politically and just in terms of just interests in life and what we think is important. So there actually is a lot of fragmentation in that regard, but when we come together in the class, we all feel a very strong bond and a strong love for each other. And it's even made me temper what I say. It seems kind of silly or trivial, but on Facebook, I kind of temper maybe how far I used to go and things I would say, because I know that these people that I love are there and they're reading it, and I feel like we're all kind of doing that. There's a mutual respect, and there's also just a strong bond of support, because we all kind of know the different things in life we're going through. Like just recently when my son had his tonsils out, Catherine, she made him homemade strawberry ice cream and brought it to our house, and she didn't have to do that, and we didn't ask for it, but she knew what we needed, and she was there for us. So there's mutual respect, there's just this strong support and love. And specifically when Ray asked me to talk, he said, how have I experienced the risen Christ? And I noticed that you specifically said the risen Christ. And so I was trying to think about what's the difference there between the risen Christ and just saying Christ. And I think what I came up with is something we've talked about in there, is that we feel like our bond is comes from the Holy Spirit. And I know that the Holy Spirit was given by Christ after the resurrection. And I feel like that's a very strong, I feel like that's what holds us together, and that's what provides that sense of community and love that we have. And anyway, it's a great class. Unfortunately, it's during this time slot, so it makes it hard if anybody wants to come and not give this up. But it's a very strong, I'm always kind of surprised how comfortable and just the way people feel. Even when visitors come to our class, they almost immediately open up and share and get involved in the theological discussions. And it's just a very warm, loving community. And, you know, we wouldn't have had it without this Sunday school.
Amen. Thanks, Jameson.
Thanks.
Loving God, our hearts have been broken because of the fragmentation in our families and in our world. Forgive us when we have insisted that our notion of family be furthered. For we know, O God, that you stand at the door and knock, that you invite us to be a part of something new, something better. Forgive us, Lord, when you have invited us over and over again to be a part of your family, and we have said that we don't have time, or we have said that we don't want to be a part of your family, we want a different family. God, free us for joyful obedience so that we can experience your life anew through Christ and the family he brings through baptism. Forgive us, make us new. Thank you for your good grace that does forgive and does make us new. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Amen.